Well, as we've been sharing on this particular theme of no evidence, one of the things that we will share is that evidence always is something that produces proof of something that you're trying to prove or substantiate. So in any field of endeavor, you know, whether you're a lawyer, you know, lawyers, you know, they subpoena witnesses, don't they? And those witnesses give what? Testimony or proof to either, you know, free you or prove guilt or innocence, right? So that's the proof, that's the purpose of it. You know, doctors, you know, doc, if you came in with some kind of symptom, doctors are going to try to look for proof or evidence of something that you say you have or feel. So they're looking, they're trying to prove something. So with evidence, there's always some, you know, effort to prove or to provide evidence. And so we know from the scriptures that Jesus took all of our sins. He took the charges that were against us, and he paid the price for that, shed his blood, so that, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he nailed to the cross permanently the proof or evidence of our sins, so that there's no evidence against us. None. Not one trace of evidence or charge against us. So that's what the scripture says in Romans 8. It says in the verse, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's no judgment, no condemnation to us, because he took it. He took it for us. That's the good news. You know, people in this world, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing good things, but good things ain't getting you in heaven. Good things are good. Doing good things are good. But if it just makes you feel good without being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you aren't going to heaven. That's the gospel. And yet he did that for us so that we can be free from the power of sin and still do good works. But good works are not going to get you into heaven. It's the blood of Jesus being cleansed by his precious blood that secures that for us. So as we've been sharing, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And some of the other translations, the New Living and the Passion Translation, it says we live. That's another word. You know, this Greek word for walk means, the word is peripateo, and it means to live, which is what some other translations say. We live by believing and not by what we see. It means to live or to conduct your life, or to, it also means to make one's way, regulate one's life. That's the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. We're to live that way by faith. That's what we're supposed to do. And what we've been sharing, and we're just adding things to this, is that Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm reading from the King James. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And what? The life that I live by, in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. So that's how we live. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Why? Because he lives in me now. And I conduct and regulate my life that way. So faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So I like what the Passion Translation says. It says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance. So faith is birthed. You know, I thought about this. I said, men, you didn't know you could get pregnant. Not naturally, but spiritually, we can be all pregnant with the word of God. and birth something, right? We can birth something from receiving what? The seed of the Word of God. Where? In my spirit. Hallelujah. So I wanted to kind of jump in this lesson today, and let's look at John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 12. This is exciting to me. Walk in the light, not in darkness. And this word walk is that I regulate my life. I control, I make my way this path, this way. But John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." What is he? Jesus said what? I am the light of the world. So, you know, let me digress a second here. If his spirit is living in you and he's the light of the world, that means you are light. And I shared this, that if he's living in you and he is light, then there's no way, and I'm going to, we're going to jump over here. Maybe I'll share that. I'll hold that thought a second. And I'll jump on that in a minute. It says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not," say shall not, I like these words, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So if you are a follower or a disciple or somebody that has what? Embraced the word, you're letting it in, you're a disciple of his. You know, we know we're the body of Christ, but you're a follower. It says you will not, you shall not walk in darkness. That word walk means to make your way, to live in darkness. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake, but what it means is if the light of God is in you, when you miss it, you're not going to feel comfortable. That's exactly what that means. You shall not walk in darkness. You're not going to live there. You can't, because the light's in you. He's in you. And it says, but shall have the light of life. I like this. This is the Passion Translation of this verse. It says, "Then Jesus said, I am light to the world." Oh boy. He is light to the world. So if he's in us, how is the light to the world going to be seen? That's what the gospel says. You are like a candle. You're not to have a bushel set on top of the candle, but you're to be what? Seen. So the light in you is to be seen to the world. That's what he's saying. I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me, so you got to embrace him, will experience life-giving light. And this is what I like here. It says, and they will never walk in darkness. Never. I like shall nots and nevers. It says, if you embrace him, it says you will experience life-giving light and you will never walk in darkness. So that means we are always what? Expanding or growing or seeing more light as long as you are what? Embracing and letting the light of God's word shine in. But 2 Corinthians 4:3, familiar verse, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost, those that don't embrace it. It's hid to them. And then it goes on, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in or unto them. So the light of God's word is what got us saved. It came into our hearts and it lit us. He came in. The light of the world came into us. And that light should be seen in us. The light what? To the world. I mean, I'll guarantee you, every single one of you in here, at some point in your life, somebody has said, what's different about you? There's something different. What is that? Every one of you have had somebody see something different about you. Now, that's an opportunity. That's the light of God shining through you. And somebody has seen something different. That's the perfect time to just share something gentle with someone. Well, you know, God made me different. I used to not be that way. Let me tell you what happened. So when we walk in the light, we will not walk in darkness. So it says, we shall never walk in darkness. Never. Never. So when we walk in the light, we're walking, think about this, when we're walking in the light, we're walking in the wisdom of God. We're walking in the love of God. When you walk in the light, you're walking in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times people use these terms, oh, you're walking in the Spirit, and they get spooky. Yes, there are manifestations of the Spirit where the Spirit will, you know, manifest himself in such a measure that you'll see demonstrations of the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit is walking in the light. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, then he's going to manifest himself in and through me in ways that are not spooky. And that just means you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the light. You're going to start to think like him, see like him. You're going to have compassion for people, and you're going to see things in people that affect you. That's God working in you. That's his nature, his light, his love operating in and through you. So here's one thing that I saw. You know, we read these scriptures all the time, but Pastor Clinton used to say this. He said, you know, the word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. He said, you see it one way and then you just turn it a little bit and you see it differently when you're discussing something different. So a lot of times when you're discussing a subject, you look at it and go, yeah, okay, I see this. So walking in the light, you say, okay, if I embrace him and I walk in the light, I will never walk in darkness. Well, then here's a reason why people don't walk in the light. Let's look at Romans 12:2. You know, we're all familiar with these scriptures in Romans 12:2 in the King James. It says, be not, what, conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But listen to this in the Passion Translation. This kind of just spells it out where we are today. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Now listen to what this goes on to say. This will empower you, what this transformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So the total transformation of my thinking, walking in the light, is going to do what? Empower me to discern God's will, His good, acceptable, and perfect will. And this is where we are, that when we, I include myself, when we embrace ideals and opinions of the world, we're not walking in the light. Because the devil has blinded the minds of those that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should do what? Shine unto them. So when we begin to embrace ideals and opinions of the world that don't line up with God, we're not walking in the light to the degree that we should. And I have to, we all do. We got to look at that and go, I have to open myself up and embrace and look for God to lead me when he goes, hey, buddy, don't read that anymore. Don't look at that anymore. Don't embrace that anymore. You know, maybe it's okay for you now, but as you grow and you embrace him and you let more of the light of God's word in, then he may go, no, that's not good for you anymore. You know. Yeah, you know what they say, you know. You know. I remember one of the teachers at Rhema, she taught prayer and healing school for years. And, you know, she taught, you know, oversaw that area and then also taught prayer three times a week. And then the school would come and she'd facilitate that. And, I mean, she walks. And we've had her here before, Leanne Sozeby in Nanuet, and we're working on getting them to come this year. We're just about set on that. But she shared this. She said she would come home from school and just want to veg out. You know, you've been giving out, and you want to just, she said, I just plopped in my lazy boy and just kind of leaned back when I got home and want to watch TV. And she said, the Holy Spirit said to her, that's not good for you. I don't want you to do that anymore. For what, you know, in the call of God upon her life, God said, that's not what I want you to do anymore. So you have a choice to make, don't you? It wasn't sin. But she was just kind of relaxing back and listening to the TV, and God said, no. So for her, if she didn't do that, then she's not walking in the light. You understand what I mean? So for each one of us, God begins to make adjustments to us, but overall, we are to walk in the light and be a light. And that's really what God is saying. Psalm 119, 130, very familiar verse. It says, the entrance of his word does what? Gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. I like this, you know, the Amplified, it says, you know, the entrance unfolding of your word gives light. It says, their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension. So the revelation of God's word will do what? Shine in onto us, give us direction, discernment in life, show us what to do. And the Passion Translation of that says, break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. So God is wanting us to let the word of God in and begin to, as you let the word of God in and you begin to meditate on God's word, begin to let that in, it begins to shine in unto your heart and it begins to show us what? What his good, acceptable, and perfect will is. So that means what? He may speak to us personally or make this adjustment. He may say, go over there and help that person. Go over there and speak to this person. You know, one thing, a lot of times, God, and I've been noticing this more because I leave myself open to it, where how many have ever had just a, you know, they say, you know, I just have a sense that I should go over there and speak to this person, or I just got this sense I should pick the phone up and speak to somebody, or I just have this sense maybe I need to call somebody and pray with them, right? That's the Holy Ghost. And the more you yield to that, to those compassion, or you could say feelings or sense, the more you yield to that, the more sensitive you become. But when you just go, I don't know, I'll get to that. You're not as sensitive. It's not saying that God won't, you know, nudge you again. But the more we do, the more we yield, the more we just say, you know, I have a sense about you. I don't know what for, but I just do. And more often than not, when we pick up the phone and call, say, you know, yeah, I need prayer. I need somebody to talk to. That's what we're talking about. Being walking in the light is that. You know, it's yielding to Him. So when we walk in the light, it's being sensitive to God, walking by faith. It's being sensitive to spiritual things. That's really what we're talking about here today. Now, I wanted to take a look at 1 John, walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 6, and 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 6, and 7. The more you pray in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, the more you meditate in the Word of God, the more you just talk about spiritual things. I know we have natural responsibilities, but you know, you can go about your natural day with being aware of who's in you. You know, just think about it. If you're married, you may not be in the presence of that person, but your thoughts are towards that person, aren't they? I mean, you're just being aware. That's all I'm saying. You're being aware of that person that you're connected to. You're thinking about them. Not 24/7, but you're thinking about them. You're aware. You're sensitive to their needs, their wants, their desires. No different with God. You're just being aware of who lives in you. He's in there. He lives in there. He's in my spirit. It's just being aware. God, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for leading me today. Just take time out to tell Him you're aware He's there. Thank you. Just thank you for being in me today. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for thinking through me and guiding me. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you. And He will. He'll lead you. He'll guide you, right? He's the light. He wants to do that. So 1 John 1, 5, I'm going to read this in the King James and then the Passion Translation. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is what? No darkness at all. What? No darkness. As they say, nada, not no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, you know, we all say, yeah, He my best bud. I have fellowship with Him, right? And walk in darkness, right? Says if we follow after Him, we shall never walk in darkness. But if you say you have fellowship and you walk in darkness, that means you live in it, you conduct your life in that way. It says you lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, see, that means the way I conduct myself, the way I progress. Doesn't mean you're not going to miss it, but I'm aware I'm walking in the light. It says here, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, listen to this in the Passion Translation, because I'm telling you, this does something for me. This excites me. 1 John 1 and 5 in the Passion Translation. It says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. He's pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. Whew. God is pure light. You know what that means? He's absolute. That means there's no admixture to it. You know what I mean by that? In other words, there's no trace of something added in. There's no admixture. It's not diluted. There's no darkness in him. There's not even a trace of darkness in him. So you know what that means? If you have the light of God in you, in your spirit, it means there's not even a trace of darkness where? In you. Not even a trace. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because if there was even the slightest trace of darkness in you, in your spirit, you wouldn't go to heaven. You wouldn't go to heaven. Because they'd say, oh, no, darkness can't go to heaven. Not even a trace. Why? It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So if there's even a trace of darkness, you're not going to heaven. Now, why do people miss it? Well, we just got done reading that in Romans 12, 2. If you begin to embrace the ideals and opinions of the world, you're going to walk in some darkness. That's the thinking. But it's not my spirit. My spirit, there's not even a trace of darkness there. And that's why we're to do what? Walk in the light. We're to embrace him. Let the light of God's word in, so there's a total transformation in my thinking. So that does what? It says it empowers me to discern what his will is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can't be like Morris the cat. You can't be one day in and then I'm out and then I'm in a little forward and then a little back. And then I'm all in. I got to go all in. Right? So this goes on to say, and this was verse 5, you'll never find even a trace of darkness in him. Verse 6, if we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness. See, it didn't say you're not going to miss it. It says if we keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Now listen to this. I like how the Passion Translation says this. But if we keep living in the pure light, keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So now you begin to see why the devil fights in the church so much. He wants to create division, and he throws things in the midst of things to do what? Create division in the church, not walking in the light. And when you just go back, I'm not going to do it today, but you just go back in Ephesians, it says what? We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to do what? Develop us, help us to be developed in the ministry that God has for each one of us, that we all come into the unity of the faith. Or you could say the unity of walking in the light. Because if I'm walking in faith, then I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in his word. But when the devil wants to create division, he knows that this creates not only division, but it affects our walk. We now don't have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus doesn't continually to cleanse us. Now, I thought this was, you know, I went back and looked at this, and I said, here's why, and I was receiving communion today. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, 28, 29, 30. We read this all the time in 1 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 27, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall do what? Eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." See, how do you do something unworthily? It says, not walking in fellowship with one another. And if the blood of Jesus is not cleansing you because of being walking in the darkness, then you do take the bread and cup unworthily. It says, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man do what? Examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then what does it say? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So we can see that the devil doesn't want us to do what? Walk in the light. You know, I was sharing this last Wednesday on the stream. I said, you know, there was, and I've shared it here, I think, a few times, that there was this story about an African tribe in Rwanda, and they call this tribe the Shining Ones. Shining, S-H-I-N-I-N-G, the Shining Ones. And this was an African tribe around the 1930s. And they said, normally, if you looked at skin of an African, their skin, and of course, Minister Joe could attest to this, but certain areas, the Congo and different areas, their skin is more of a bluish hue. And it's just very dark. And he said their skin began to literally glow with the glory of God. And so this person went to interview them back in the 70s and 80s. And this person he met who was from that original tribe, he said, this is what happened. He said, we began to, over time, this didn't just happen overnight, but they began to walk in forgiveness and walk in the love of God towards each other. And they said they wouldn't let the day go by that if they felt they offended somebody or did something, they'd ask for forgiveness. What is that? Walking in the light. Walking in the light. And that's how they called. Their skin began to shine and glow. And what this person who interviewed them, he said he had been looking when he saw in the gospel that Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, yes, he came as God in the flesh, but he set aside all of his divine privileges and he operated as a man. So it was a man that was transfigured. Jesus was a natural man, supernatural, but still he had no sin, but he walked in the light and he was transfigured. So what does that mean? He said, this person who interviewed him said, I was looking, can it be that there could be transfiguration in a body, in a person? That's not spooky. That's just saying, if I let the light of God's word in and I consistently walk in the light and I choose to not walk in darkness, when I forgive and I ask for forgiveness and I love, that I begin to operate, as it says, I walk in the light as he is in the light. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a choice that I begin to operate in the things of God consistently, and I do what? I walk in the light. I let the light of God's word in, and what does that mean? Darkness can't stay. Sickness can't stay. It can't. Can't stay. Because there's no evidence. This is what we're talking about, this whole theme of no evidence. What happens? That means if I walk in the light as he is in the light, there's no evidence in me of darkness. That's what we're talking about, no evidence. No evidence that it's causing me to change. Now, let's just look at one last scripture here. Because there's just so much to share. I'm just going to highlight some things here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. This is familiar scripture verse, but tells us to do what? Walk in the light. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. See, it says sometimes we were sometimes darkness. But what? Now ye are ye light in the Lord. It says, now you're light. You were walking in darkness. But now you're light. What does it say? Walk in the light. Walk as children of the light. Well, that's a choice we have to make. We have to walk as children of the light. And then what does it go on to say? It says, for the fruit of the Spirit, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as we walk in the light, we'll have that discernment to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. So I hope you're seeing some things a little bit here, that God is wanting us to walk in the light. And this is a lifelong effort till we leave this body or Jesus returns. We have to continually embrace the word, feed upon it, and make corrections where we need to make corrections. And God will nudge us. He's a gentleman. He'll just say, look, don't do that. Think about this. Spend a little more time with me. I love you. I want to change you. I want to bless you. You see? And the only way you're going to do that is to walk in the light. You know, you think about this. Just think about, just simple things. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll know exactly how to conduct the affairs of your life. You'll know exactly what to do, what to buy, who to marry, who to be friends with, what to invest in. Because what? You'll know exactly like he knows. He will begin to show you things. I was looking up something just during praise and worship, and I guess it could be another whole lesson, but this word foolishness came into my thinking, and I lost it. Let me just get this real quick. In Proverbs, it is so many great words. The thing here, it says, Proverbs 15:2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Well, how are you going to have the tongue of the wise useth knowledge? You're going to let the light of God's word in. So, what you know, we know Proverbs 18:20. It says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue." Proverbs 15:14. It says, "The heart of him that hath understanding." Well, we can look at Psalm 119:130. The entrance of his word giveth light, and it does what? Giveth understanding unto the simple. Well, this says here, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So, letting the light of God's word in is going to give us more discernment to seek him, to know what's pleasing to him. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and of course it goes on, but the thought of foolishness is sin. Yeah, I mean, there's yep, there's so many things here. And of course we know 1 Corinthians 1:18, says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." So we're going to view things a little differently when we walk in the light. So just share these thoughts. I think part of this, be more aware of who's in you, that the light of God is in you, that there's not a trace. Don't yield, you know, to the passions and the thoughts and or not thoughts, but as we said, the ideals and opinions of this world, but yield to him, yield to his ways, and we'll be blessed. I mean, we'll be blessed in life. We'll know exactly what to do. You know, in their scripture it says that, you know, the foolish man, he said, I forget how it reads, but the foolish person, when it talks about, a wayward woman, it says a foolish man doesn't recognize it and goes on his way to his own demise and his death, right? Because they don't recognize the darkness. They're just going by their flesh. So, It's in this environment that we live in, God is wanting to reach this world with the light of and goodness of God. And we're the ones to do it. And he's saying, look, the way you're going to do that is just walk more and more in my life, in the word of God and the light of God, and he'll just shine out through you. He'll shine through you, and people will see that goodness. They'll see that wonderful glory of God upon you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's so good. We thank you that all we have to do is embrace the word of God, act upon it, live it, and you will shine through us. And we thank you for it, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Praise God.